Joe Courtney, let's talk Iran. There was a lot of talk about it. There's less talk about, you know, bellicosity with Iran. I'm wondering, from your perch in the Congress Subcommittee on Readiness, whether or not you think it's time to relax a little.
Well, I don't think it's time to relax. On the other hand, I also think that the sort of loose talk of war is also something that I think we really have to tone it down a little bit. You know, Bob Gates, who is, in my opinion, one of the finest public servants I've met since I've come to Washington, described, you know, the Iran situation really well when he said that the likelihood of Iran acquiring nuclear weapons is just totally, completely unacceptable and would be a catastrophic development in terms of world peace. On the other hand, invading Iran would also be totally unacceptable and a catastrophic development for world peace. I mean, this is a very, very difficult problem that we have right now. And, you know, we certainly have the experience of going through the Iraq War when there was, you know, all this talk how easy it was going to be. And, you know, 8 or 9 years later, we finally got the final, you know, the last of our troops out of there. You know, I think David Petraeus always says it the best, you know, the wonderful general that led our forces over there, is that you've got to always ask the question when you talk about, you know, military forces, how does this end? And right now, I don't think a lot of people, you know, really who know what they're talking about can really give very coherent, clear answers in terms of how this would end if there was a an attack on Iran. But again, you know, for the neighborhood there, all the Sunni nations that surround Iran as well as Israel, the possibility that Iran would actually acquire a nuclear weapon would be just a very incredibly destabilizing development in that region. So, you know, sanctions, economic pressure, diplomatic pressure right now, I mean, I really think that is the order of the day in terms of trying to really get some kind of decent resolution to this problem.
So let me ask you about the intervening variable, as we political scientists say, Israel. What happens if they do something?
Well, I mean, it's they are our ally. And as the president said, you know, we're watching their back. We have since day one when they became a nation. And, you know, we certainly have that strong alliance that we have to certainly respond to. The you know, rather than just sort of speculate as sort of armchair generals about, you know, how that would sort of play itself out, I mean, to me, I think the real challenge right now and task at hand is really to work with Israel, the countries in the region, the UN, the Arab League, you know, all of the players that are there, EU, NATO, etc., to make sure that the right type of pressure is applied to Iran so that we really don't have that, you know, very difficult choice of what happens next if there is, if war breaks out or hostilities break out.
The question then becomes, from Iran to farming. You have a lot of farms in your district, Joe?
More than you'd think. I mean, I'm on the Agriculture Committee and we've got over 100 dairy farms in the area. But, you know, what's happening in Connecticut and, frankly, places all over the Northeast is we're seeing a lot of specialty crops sort of emerging, organic farms. We also have a lot of greenhouse nurseries that are popping up. And agriculture is quietly really becoming a very successful growth sector in Connecticut, just like it is all over the country.
Do you feel much pressure from the farmers?
You know, they, unlike, you know, the sort of the commodity crop states where, you know, direct payments and subsidies have been sort of part of the fabric for decades, I mean, there really is not that same level of dependence on cash payments. You know, really with the kind of assistance that, you know, shellfish farmers in Long Island, as well as some of the groups that are talking about, you know, sort of locally grown crops and produce and beef are really looking for more is just marketing assistance and help in terms of educating consumers about the choices that are out there. You know, certainly when you have stories like pink slime that are out
pink
there.
Pink slime, for those who have not been paying attention, is an additive to our hamburger and other meats.
That should really help local beef producers, you know, in a way that no government program could ever, in its wildest dreams, stimulate. And frankly, I do think that that's really what's interesting out there, is that the consumers are really starting to vote with their feet, that issues of food security you know, just wanting to know where stuff comes from is really going to help this sort of locally grown phenomenon that's really picking up speed, again, all over the country.
I want to go to a very sensitive subject with you, Joe Courtney, and that's Trayvon Martin, the black young man who was murdered by a so-called community watch guy. Then along comes the president of the United States, says he could have a kid who would look that way. There are demonstrations popping up all over the country. What do you make of this?
Well, I just think that, you know, the notion that there are laws on the books that provide really just almost complete license to use deadly force in situations where, you know, it is at best a close call at all of any kind of real threat, really, in my opinion, makes us less safe than more safe. And, you know, I was a defense lawyer in many different, you know, incarnation in my professional career in a public defender, and certainly, you know, was involved in cases where self-defense was an issue before a jury. And the notion that the set of facts that occurred around this incident even remotely comes close to a, you know, really balanced law of self-defense, where, you know, wasn't at this person's home, wasn't, you know, inside his house, but was out on the street with, you know, really no indication that there was any deadly weapon or threat of deadly force. I mean, it just, to me, it is just bizarre that there could even be a law that would even allow something like this to be, you know what I mean, debatable about whether or not it's a reasonable self-defense situation. And, but apparently, I mean, again, the language that Florida adopted is something that other states have been looking at. It's really an open invitation to a more violent society. And obviously there's a whole layer of racial impact because of the facts of this case, which, again, just shows that when you don't have, you know, real sort of rule of law where force is really given to the police to protect us rather than just people going out there and doing it on their own, then you really just invite this kind of corrosive, negative, horrible situation that's brewing now all across the country. And we are starting to see demonstrations even in Connecticut to show sympathy, you know, with the family, which is completely understandable when you examine what happened here.
Joe Courtney, I'll give you 1 minute. The Affordable Care Act, now before the Supreme Court. Prediction. My prediction is 5-4 against. What's yours?
I'm going to really stick my neck out here. I'm going to say 7-2 in support.
Really?
Yep.
From your mouth to God's ear. That's what I said.
Of course, I said UConn was going to win the NCAA national championship this year in the men's.
See, because my feeling is that this Supreme Court has been politicized quite badly. It's gone from public policy to basically partisan policy, especially with the five guys who keep, or the four of them, and often joined by Kennedy, and things like Citizens United and the rest of it. So I hope you're right.
I think Justice Roberts is very concerned about what this means in terms of the court's standing if it's viewed as too political a decision.
It didn't stop those guys when they diselected Al Gore president of the United States.
Agreed. And, you know, but I certainly picked up enough indications where this stuff is really starting to, you know, really be a concern of his. And I hope I'm not being too naive. But we'll see.
We'll see. Joe Courtney, always a great pleasure. We really want to thank you for spending all this time with us. It's always great to hear your voice and to hear your views on things. Again, thank you.
Thanks, Alan. It's always a pleasure.